Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au. Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Now time to talk culture, to get up to speed with the world of the great Aussie culture. Some say religion, sport, talking rugby union, sport, soccer and doping, especially in the wake of our conversation earlier with Brad Blanton. Our sporting guru, Jeremy Rolston, Olympian, is across it all and he joins us now. Welcome back, pal.
Thank you very much. Great to be here. Yeah,
good to see you. Let's kick things off with the A-League, Rollo. Sydney FC beat the Western Sydney Wanderers 1-0 last night. Alessandro Di Piero scored the only goal.
Yeah, well, the 37-year-old marquee signing is certainly proving his worth.
Yes.
He performed very, very well again, scored the only goal 7 minutes into the second half when he was fouled, and he scored another great goal the week before in Sydney FC's 2-3 loss to Newcastle. Great player, and just great to see someone of that skill.
And this is only round three, so already he's done so much for the game to lift it already.
Yeah, he has. I mean, if you think about the fact that there's been sold out games, there was 35,000 people to watch that Sydney FC v Newcastle Jets. It's just great for the game generally. It's great for the game in Australia, and it comes with pressure and it comes with expectations. So for someone at that end of his career to be performing like that is a mark of his ability.
Good luck to him, and whoever signed him, good luck to you as well.
Absolutely.
So let's move on to rugby union. Last night's game, bit of a shock in many ways. No tries, not even from the All Blacks, and it was a draw.
Yeah, I mean, a game close to my heart, obviously, an 18-all draw last night. It was an interesting game. I think the All Blacks were uncharacteristically error-prone, but on the other hand, the Wallabies showed great character and commitment. But it has to be said, the Bledisloe Cup had already been lost, courtesy of the two victories that the All Blacks had over the Wallabies already.
Yes.
So, in some ways, you wonder whether the All Blacks, with a big Northern Hemisphere tour ahead of them, were really all there.
Yeah. The Wallabies, you've got to say, really aren't the standard that they once were. What has to change if they're going to be true contenders in the games ahead against the All Blacks?
Yeah, it's interesting. If you had a blank piece of paper and you were Robbie Deans, what would you be doing at this point?
I mean,
my views is it really comes down to depth and it comes down to a winning attitude. If you just look at what the All Blacks did in that last couple of minutes where the Wallabies had the ball for a number of phases and didn't take a drop goal, then the All Blacks had the same opportunity and instead of kicking it out to end the game, ran it almost 80 metres and then gave themselves the same opportunity. That's a team that's confident in winning and confident in themselves. But I think it's worth just noting on that point that a country like New Zealand, where the game is almost a religion and they have a competition like the NPC, which is something that we don't have in Australia. We have first grade and then it's a big step up to a thing like the Super 15 and then you step up to the Wallabies. Well, they have this competition called the NPC, equivalent to the Currie Cup. And that is where they get this great depth of players, which we don't really cultivate.
Yeah. Well, lift your game. Okay, so I want to focus in a fair bit on Lance Armstrong and this doping allegation. It's one of the biggest sports stories of years, really. There is such an overwhelming case now against him. He appeared yesterday in public for the first time but said nothing about it. What's it done, in your view, for cycling as a sport?
Right? Oh, it's terrible. It's just devastating for the sport, and you can see it across anyone who's touched by the sport, whether they're an administrator, whether they're a competitor, whether they're just an interested spectator. It's worth noting for people that aren't familiar with the story. I mean, the US Anti-Doping Agency released a 1,000-page report of evidence that included 26 sworn statements from witnesses, but 11 of those were Armstrong's teammates.
Yeah.
So he may not have ever failed a drug test, but when you take that overwhelming evidence that he used drugs and blood transfusions during your career, the most famous cyclist, you would say, in recent times, it's just devastating for the sport.
People are talking about this as a culture in the sport. Is that a fair enough thing to say?
Absolutely. As a non-cyclist looking in from the outside, how could you not say that it's a culture with so many positive drug tests? Alberto Contador comes to mind, Lance Armstrong, then the number of witnesses against him. And we've had this week, you know, Australians say that they were, you know, involved in taking of drugs. It's how can you not be skeptical? The problem is it just casts this skepticism across all athletes.
Yes. Here's the question. Should these people hand in their medals and maybe more significantly hand back sometimes the millions that they earn along the way?
Well, I think that's a very good question. I feel pretty strongly on this, and my view is absolutely. Because drug cheats make endorsements, they make sponsorship, they make prize money, all off the back of their cheating. So it follows that they should give not only the medals back, but they should be giving their winnings. I mean, let's not forget that there's clean athletes out there that not only miss out on all that,
yes,
they actually miss out on something that I would hesitate to say is just as important. They're not the ones that get the medal ceremony and the glory and hear the national anthem. So let's think about it in an Olympic context. You win a silver medal, you're not the person on the top of the dais hearing your national anthem, getting a gold medal. You find out a year down the track that the person tested positive and you get sent a medal in the mail.
Yep.
It's not the same thing.
Here's an interesting perspective into the culture of this sport. On Sky News this past week, we ran a grab of Dick Pound, who's the former president of the World Anti-Doping Agency, and he was relaying a conversation he'd had with the former head of World Cycling, who was saying, this is the spectators' fault. And Pound said, please, hello, why is that? And he said, well, if the spectators were satisfied with 24-kilometre races and not these great endurance races, they wouldn't have to dope. And Pound said, you know, you heard it here first. What a delusional kind of culture.
Delusional is a great word. Yeah. Bewildering is another.
Yes.
And it makes you think, I mean, how on earth is a sport like that going to come clean if there are attitudes like that? I mean, the thing is, if there are no repercussions or recompense when people take drugs, what incentive is there for athletes to stay clean apart from your own integrity? Yeah. So, I mean, it's the big dollars involved in these sports. You know, you think about sports, baseball, NFL, the Olympics, cycling. You know, there's a lot of money involved in these sports, and hence people will take drugs if they think they can get away with it.
And as you say, the mud will stick not only for the other cyclists, but in more sport broadly, who's doping.
Absolutely. I mean, I have a teammate who trains so hard and people think that he's on drugs, and bobsleigh as a sport is known for its drug taking. We just had another person in Canada test positive this week.
Wow.
It casts dispersion over everybody.
Yeah. I'd be interested for your reflections on this based on our conversation before on the issue of truth, because apparently it started quite innocently for Lance Armstrong, and somewhere early there was a line crossed, and that's the line where you say own up or not, or keep the lie going. How do you reflect on that?
Well, when I played rugby, I never really came across drugs, and I never felt a temptation to take them. But I can tell you, when I was doing bobsleigh across 10 years and 2 Olympics, competing against people that you would see them 1 year and then the next year, and you would know that they'd taken drugs because you knew how hard you'd trained, I could understand for the first time why someone would take drugs to just compete, depending on the pressure. But what I would say is, you know, the minute that you take drugs, that your integrity and internal integrity and internal dialogue is shot. And that is just a question that you talked about before, that internal integrity and truth.
Just quickly before we let you go, you wanted to make special mention of Felix Baumgartner.
I
don't
just
know whether I'd call this sport, but it's some achievement.
I'm going to call this sport. look, I mean, how could you not have heard about Red Bull's...
yes, they've done well out of it, haven't they?
Well, yes. What a branding. So Felix Baumgartner's jump from 39 kilometres up succeeded. People didn't even know if a human could do this. He broke the sound barrier. He went 1,300 kilometres an hour, or 1.4 times the speed of sound. No one's ever reached that before, and just what a amazing feat. So for those of you who didn't see that, it's definitely worth going onto YouTube and having a look at his the Red Bull Stratus jump, because what an amazing feat of a human to do.
And he landed on both feet quite safely.
I'm calling it sport.
I'm with you. Across Australia, thank you so much, Jeremy. This is Open House.
Thanks, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au. We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.